It's my privilege to be able to share both this morning and this evening, and as we continue with our theme of go, I want to look at two particular Bible individuals. This morning we're going to look at a submissive servant, and tonight we're going to look at a strengthened servant. Recently I had to go to an Elim church in Finsbury Park. I have no idea how to get to Finsbury Park, and therefore I put on my sat nav and proceeded to listen to the instructions that it gave me. At various times, once I was in London, it would tell me to take certain directions, and there was a thought in my mind, I hope I know it's doing what it's supposed to be doing and it's not taking me somewhere I don't want to be. That question mark, because I don't know whether or not I am in the right place, I don't know whether I'm in the right area, I have no idea whether I'm taking the right turns, and so I was totally dependent on it. Now, can I say it did get me to where I wanted it to be, except there is a suspicion in my mind that it took me down a road that I was not supposed to go down at certain times of the day. I'm waiting to find out whether I end up receiving some little notification through informing me that that road was only open between the hours of 12 o'clock at midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning, and the rest of the time we will fine you so we can gain extra money. But nevertheless, that was my journey. And you know, our journey with God, keeping on track. Have you ever at times felt that God is giving you an instruction and you thought to yourself, really? Really? Do you really want me to go there? Do you really want me to do that? Do you really want me to take that step? Really? Then you must be joking, God. Come on. You can't possibly mean what you're saying. I'm going to say to some of you, he does mean what he's saying. And although you do not understand why he's saying what he's saying, you need to take the step, because until you take the step, you will not arrive at the destination he wants to take you to. And I want to take you to a character in the Bible that we find in the Acts of the Apostles, and we find it in Acts chapter 9. There is the verse, the key verse for this morning, where speaking to a guy called Ananias, God says, "Get up," the Lord told him. "Go," there's our theme, "go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." And we're going to look at this incident just to bring it into context. Saul, this great enemy of the church, has suddenly had a divine encounter. This divine encounter was to totally transform him. Let's recognize we all have had a divine encounter. It will not be the same as it was with Saul. Every one of us encounter Jesus in different ways, unique to us, because Jesus comes to us personally. For some of us, it's a dramatic conversion, like it was with Saul. For others, it was a journey. We found ourselves sort of on this road where suddenly we come to an understanding that actually we do believe in Jesus. We do believe that he has given his life for us. We do believe he's risen from the dead. And that very fact means that we have become a child of God. And so here is this man Saul, who's had this dramatic encounter with Jesus, and who's now blind, and he's praying, and he's waiting for the next chapter to open his life. In the meantime, there is a disciple called Ananias. And Ananias is just going about his business, and suddenly God turns up. And to help you on the journey that I'm going to take you on, you will now get all the alliterated points that are there, and you can make a note of them if you wish. They may or may not be of help to you, but you know that's the way I think. The call of God comes comes to Ananias, not expecting it. In this case, it's in a vision. But suddenly in his ordinary everyday life, God calls him. That is what God does. He suddenly turns up and he calls to us, speaks to us. Again, it's different. For some of you, it can be as dramatic as that. There's suddenly this vision you receive. There's suddenly this sense in which God bursts in and begins to speak to you. For others, it may be that there's a dream that you have. For others, it may be that you're just reading the Word of God, and the Word of God, suddenly something leaps out at you and suddenly it resonates with you. There's that sense of, I just know that God is speaking to me. God is calling to me. God is revealing something to me. Just be aware that God is always speaking. God is always wanting you to hear from him. And sometimes when you think he's being silent, perhaps it's more a case of, are we really listening? Sometimes I realize I don't listen to Maureen. Now, I have to accept that is very infrequent. Very rarely does Maureen say to me, you're not listening to me, are you? But there are the odd occasions when it's true to say that while she is talking about something, I'm thinking about something else. Fishing. Do you know, fishing, yes, probably. Do you know that how it is with Father God? Sometimes he's speaking to us and we're concentrating on something else, we're thinking about something else, we're reflecting on something else. Sometimes when Maureen speaks to me, I don't want to hear what she's saying. Like, go and tidy up your office. You know, they are words that I would rather not hear. And sometimes when God speaks to us, God says stuff and we think, oh, I don't really want to hear that. I don't really like what you're saying here. Now, to a certain extent, for Ananias, this is what happens in him, in his life. Because this command comes, go. And as we continue with this theme this year, it is a command. It is a go. It is a releasing. It is an action word. And we're going to see over a period of time how many times and how many ways God tells us to go. And so here we discover that Ananias, he hears this word, right, go. And as this command comes, he knows it's God. He hears what God is saying. But that's exactly what he then says. But God, have you ever done a but? But God, hold on a minute. Now, I'm so grateful that God, although he's sovereign and though he's Lord, he doesn't mind hearing our buts. He doesn't mind hearing our questions. He doesn't mind hearing our concerns. And so for Ananias, he is aware of who this Saul fellow is. He is aware of what Saul was up to. In fact, he says, but hold on, God. You don't mean the Saul that I know, do you? You don't mean this Saul who has been persecuting the church. You don't mean this Saul who has been out to destroy the kingdom of God. You don't mean this Saul who is putting Christians in prison. You don't mean this Saul that is likely to kill me, do you? And God says, that's exactly it. That's the one. You see, sometimes when God comes to you and says, go, you will put a but in there because there's all sorts of reasons why you don't want to go. There are all sorts of concerns that you may have. For some of you, God is saying go in relation to stepping into something fresh and something new, and you're saying, but God. And you're saying, I've got concerns in this. I'm not equipped for this. I'm not ready for this. This is different. This is something that I'm not comfortable with. This is unsettling. This is something that really I'm not sure you called the right person. I'm not sure you picked the right one. God, isn't there someone else you can send instead? Let's recognize that that's exactly what Moses says. You see, so often when God commands people to do something, they think, I'd rather it was someone else. And for some of you in this new season, God is telling you to go in the way of stepping into something fresh and something new. And because it's different how it was, and because there's a sense of being uncomfortable in it, you're struggling with it, you're feeling unsettled by it. There's lots of you, bits of you saying, but God! Now when Ananias is raised with concerns with God, notice as you look at the chapter, God simply says, go. But I've already heard you say go once. That's not what I'm asking you to say the second time round. I don't want you to confirm me to go. I'd rather you said, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'll change my mind. But God isn't going to change his mind. If he's told you to go, he's going to continue to tell you to go. I'm so grateful that God confirms his word, because there are times when we need that confirmation. And as a young person way back in my teens, only a few years ago, God spoke to me. This shy, reserved individual. You see, he's laughing. But it's true. That's what I was. When Maureen came to the church, I was not noticed by her. There were all these young men there. Me, I was oblivious as far as she was concerned. And I was so quiet and so reserved and so shy. That's why I took up fishing. Because I could go there and be on my own and not worry about having people around me and thinking, what should I say to them? I'm a little bit different now, in case you haven't noticed. Because there came a point in my life where God said, go. A point in my life where God said to me, I want to release you into something which I at the time thought was just not possible. And yet, despite all my arguments, God continued to say, go. See, whatever God is going to release you into, he will equip you to be able to fulfill the purposes and the plans he has for you. Whatever it is he's opening up for you, when you take that step and that willingness to go, then God will only go with you, but God will enable you to see him glorified through your life by the change and transformation that will come, that reveals his grace and his goodness to you, and that through you speaks of his majesty and of his grace and his glory. Some of you are being called to go. And this morning he's confirming it again. Go. Go. Despite your concerns. Despite your uncertainties. Despite your arguments. Despite your weaknesses. Despite your failures. Despite your past. Despite all the things that you think disqualify you from going into what he's releasing you into. Go. Because God will go with you. But it does require commitment. It does require commitment. See, when God speaks to us and tells us to go, we have to be committed to doing what he says. We have to stay on track. See, in that journey into London and to Finsbury Park, at any point on the journey there, I could have decided I knew better. Have you ever at times thought that you knew better than God? Have you at times in your life thought, I don't agree with what he's doing at the moment. I'm sure I could do it better than him. But you know what the Bible tells us, that God does everything supremely well. See, when he created heaven and earth, he looked at it and says, it is good. The Bible tells me that you were created in his womb, in your mother's womb. And that while you were being created and being knit and formed together, it was God that was doing that. Listen, some of you, when God saw you being created in your mother's womb, he declared over your life, it is good. And despite the negative things that people say, despite the feelings that you may have about yourself, despite the reservations that you see with the mistakes that have been made in your life, you need to know that Father says over your life this morning, it is good. I've created you to be the way that I want you to be in order that I might fashion and form you, in order that you might be used for my glory, and in order that my honour might be revealed through your life. And so to stay on track, I had to be committed to listening to the voice that was taking me to the destination that I was being taken to. Any time that I decided I don't want to do that, I could have gone off track. But the result would have been, I know I would have ended up hopelessly lost. Hopelessly lost. That's why the Bible talks about those that are lost. The lost are the people who have gone off track. The lost are the people who have gone their own direction and in their own way. But I'm also glad that the Bible also tells us this. He likens everybody to a sheep. And this is another go verse which at some point I might come to. The story of the sheep that goes astray. But the Bible talks about the fact that although there's 100 sheep and only one goes astray, who is the most important person or the most important sheep in that story that Jesus is telling? It's not the 99 who haven't gone astray. It's the one that has. Listen, some of you. The one that's gone astray is the one that God is most interested in reaching and the most interested in seeking and the most interested in saving. And he is at work, even if you cannot see him at work. Commitment. Commitment to stay on track. The enemy will seek to try and divert you and cause you to go off track in your life and in the purposes and the plans that God has for you and in the direction that he's given you where he said to you, go. Stay on track. Stay on track. Even if you do not understand why he's taking you down a certain way, stay on track. But for Ananias, the commitment would involve a cost. Put yourself in Ananias' place for a minute. Here he has received this command to go to a renowned individual who, as far as all the information he had was concerned, was someone that was ready to slit your throat if you were a Christian. And here is God saying, I want you to go to that individual who is, the Bible describes him as murderous and threatening. Think of the most murderous, threatening person in your life. Exclude me from that, if that's who you were immediately thinking of. Think of the most think of the person that you dislike the most or you least like to meet up with. And as you think of them, imagine how you would feel if God said, I want you to go and speak to them. I want you to go and visit them. I want you to go and knock on their door and say, I've come to see you. Think about how you would feel. I suspect you'll be a bit nervous. I suspect you might be even a bit frightened. I certainly would say that you really did not want to be going where you're going. Just imagine the cost for Ananias as he leaves his comfortable, nice, warm lodgings as he starts his journey to what street?
Straight.
Keep on the straight and narrow. It's always the best street to stray on. As he's on Straight Street and you're thinking to yourself, oh Saul, I've got to go and see Saul. I wonder how I'm going to be received. I wonder what he's going to be like. I wonder how he's going to treat me. I wonder what he's going to say to me. I wonder what I will say to him. I wonder what I need to do. all the way. I suspect he was praying as hard as he could, because I know I would. All the way he would be thinking, I just hope God knows what he's doing. Because my life is on the line here. My life is on the line here. That's the sort of cost that going involves sometimes, putting our lives on the line. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's in a physical sense, although in Ananias' case it could have been. But sometimes we have to put our lives on the line as far as our reputation is concerned. Sometimes we have to put our lives on the line as far as our preferences are concerned. Sometimes we have to put our lives on the line as far as our hopes and dreams are concerned. Sometimes we have to put our lives on the line as far as our plans for the future are concerned. But Ananias was prepared to pay the cost. Are you? To go as God is directing you. But you see, there was a reason why he had to pay that cost. There was a man who was hurting, who needed a comrade. A man who had had this amazing experience of encounter that left a mark on him, and who needed someone to come alongside him. I want to say to you, church, that all of us need people alongside us at times. All of us not only need to have a comrade there that can put his arm around us or her arm around us, who can speak to us, who can listen to us and to help us, but all of us equally need at times to be the comrade. To be willing, to be committed, to be the channel that God can use to bless someone, to come alongside someone, to be there for someone. See, as Ananias arrives at the place where Saul is, knocks on the door, the door's opened and in he goes, and there is Saul. Now Ananias has already been told by God that Saul is praying. See, God knows that Saul's praying. God hears your prayers. He listens to what you're saying. And so he says, Ananias, you'll find that Saul is there praying. And also you discover that Ananias hears from God, and God says to Ananias, Ananias, I want you to know I've got a plan for Saul, and it's going to involve pain, and it's going to involve sacrifice, but it's going to involve an amazing experience of me using him to reach kings and to reach nations. All of this before even Saul had taken the first step in that journey. But when Ananias comes in, he comes in and he goes up to Sister Maureen, puts his hand on her, but in his case on Saul, and this is what he says: Brother Saul, Brother Saul, we're all brothers and sisters, we're family. That is an ethos and an emphasis that for me as a church leader I see so important. As family, we won't always agree with one another. As family, we won't always see eye to eye. As family, we won't always like everything that's going on. But the fact is, we are family. And when Ananias comes in, I think that's such a powerful statement to say to Saul, who was in this experience where he was bewildered. Remember, his life has been changed radically. What he had set his life's mission on, which was to destroy the message of Jesus and the church of Jesus, that was now in pieces, smashed at his feet. He, in one sense, had lost everything that he originally intended to be. Everything that he intended to set his life upon was now gone. How comforting to hear someone come in and simply say, Brother Saul, you're my family. You're my brother. You might at one time been my enemy, but not anymore. I want you to know that we are one. And that's why the Bible emphasizes so much that we're called to live in unity, to be at one with each other. Can I say, encouragement is so powerful? Encouragement is so powerful. And so Ananias goes on to say, not only are you my brother, but I want to encourage you. I want you to know Jesus sent me. Jesus sent me. He sent me to come and pray with you. He sent me to come and speak to you. He sent me to come and give you the opportunity to experience even more of his grace and his power and his goodness. He is a messenger of Jesus, bringing that awareness to Saul, that Jesus, who he had met only just a few days before, still was concerned and interested in him. And we need to realize that every one of us can carry words of encouragement. Indeed, words of encouragement should be something that you and I seek to hold on to and seek to develop. In fact, even in the gifts of the Spirit, when he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, they are to instruct, they are to exhort, they are to encourage or build up. That's how you measure the gifts of the Spirit. Are they doing that? Be an encourager. Be a builder-upper. Be someone who, like Ananias, comes alongside as a comrade and says, I want to see you become the best you could be, and I'm rooting for you, and I'm looking after you, and I'm looking out for you, and I will be your biggest hero as you go on your journey of faith. And then, this conduit of blessing, he says, right, experience the power of God again. And so as he says, brother Saul, Jesus has sent me, he lays hands upon Saul and says, receive the Holy Spirit and receive healing. And the power of God flows through Ananias, impacts Saul's life. Bible tells us that scales, the NLT I think, or the Message says, fish scales, like fish scales, fall off of Saul's eyes, and suddenly he can see. And from that moment, we see that Saul not only begins to eat, but he also begins his journey into all the destiny that God has for him. We are all called to be conduits of blessing. There's an old hymn that we used to sing about being channels of blessing. Indeed, there's another song that comes to mind where it says, makes me a channel of your peace. Talks about how that we can be channels that God can use to bring hope where there's hopelessness, to bring light where there's darkness, to bring life where there is death. Every one of us can be the means by which God can minister through us into the life of others around us. And so go. Go in submission to how God is directing you to go. Sense the call. Every one of you has a call. Let me say that. Every one of you has a call. The issue is not whether you're called. The issue is whether you are responding to the call. The command that has come, be obedient to it. There may be concerns around it. That's okay. You can express those concerns to God. You can express those concerns to people that you trust. Look for spiritual, mature elders. And that's not in age sense, but in the sense of maturity is spiritually there. Look for people like that and say, I've got this sense. This is what God is saying. Can you pray with me about that? Give God the opportunity to confirm what he's saying. I think it's important that you do receive confirmation. But as the confirmation comes, be committed to keep on track. not only to that, but there is a cost. But can I say that the glory outweighs the cost? The glory always outweighs the cost. And that's why in Hebrews we're told that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Why? Because he knew that the cross was going to lead to the crown. You can't have the crown without the cross. The Apostle Paul understood that when he, on another occasion, said these words, "Oh, that I want to know him and the power of his resurrection." And every time I read those first words, "I want to know him and the power of his resurrection," there's something that leaps within me. Oh, I just want to know the power of his resurrection. But then Paul goes on to say, "And the fellowship of his sufferings." Not so keen on that bit. Not so keen on that bit. But you see, the power of the resurrection is in partnership with the fellowship of the sufferings. Without the cross, there is no crown. But Jesus endured the cross in order that he might receive the crown. Because he's received the crown, we also now have the opportunity to receive the crown. So allow the cost to be there in your life, because it will not be a cost that you will in some way feel there's been too much to pay. You will discover it would lead you into an amazing journey where you'll be a comrade to someone and a conduit of blessing to the glory of God. God bless you.
Amen.